Well, here's a surprise, friends. Back in 2015, just 4 years ago, if Pope Francis had his way, he was ready to cancel Christmas. Because according to the Pope, if you look at the state of the world at the moment, this is really not a time for bright lights and trees and parties. Here's what he said. In the light of the constant stream of terror attacks, in a world where passenger planes are shot out over the sky of Egypt, as you think back to the constant massacre in Paris and the constant shootings and suicide bombings all over the Western world, he said that Christmas season feels like a charade. The Pope says, and these are his words, the world has not understood the way of peace. The whole world is at war. And so apparently Christmas has failed and should perhaps be cancelled or at least postponed until things change. Now, it's an interesting perspective, isn't it? And maybe if you were one of those original shepherds we heard about in our reading from Luke's Gospel, and you come face to face with this sky full of angels who seem to be promising this new era of peace and joy to the world, if you're one of those guys and somehow time travelled to today, maybe you'd share the Pope's disappointment as well. Because you see, peace is one of those big promises given on the very first Christmas that promises so much, but when you watch the news or pick up the newspaper, seems to have delivered so little. Let me take you back to the start and the famous scene we just read with the shepherds camped out under the stars just outside of Bethlehem, watching their flocks. And we're told an angel appears in blinding light, a messenger of God, and they're terrified. But the angel has reassuring words. Don't be afraid, guys. We've come with good news. God is coming to his people in the form of a baby boy. And you'll find him wrapped in rags and lying in a feed trough just up the road. And then suddenly there's this whole company of angels, hundreds, thousands of them, filling the sky with their song. It's a multi-part harmony. And they're singing these words, which I think is what the Pope is reflecting on as he's disappointed with what he sees. Because it seems that it promises so much. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Which of course is where we draw the lyrics of many of our famous carols, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild. And we stop there and think, well, we don't even think of what the next line is, because where's this peace on earth? You know, the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow asked the same question. In the middle of the American Civil War, his oldest son had come home from the battlefield terribly injured. His wife died the year before in a terrible accident. And when he hears the Christmas bells ringing on Christmas Day, 1863, Longfellow writes these words. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now look, that may be your experience too. That the promise of Christmas, well, it just doesn't deliver. And so instead of peace, you're watching the news with growing anxiety. And maybe, well, that's just going on in your life as well. No peace in your marriage, no peace in your job, no peace as you constantly worry every day for your kids or your grandkids. Most of all, maybe no peace at the very core of your being with the God who gave you life. So here's the question. Has the original Christmas project failed? In the words of Pope Francis, is Christmas really just a charade because of the absence of peace in our world? Has hate mocked the angels' song so long that they're just no longer singing it? And does the arrival of this baby Jesus really in the end offer us anything in the middle of this mess? Or has Jesus himself failed? Well, to answer this, I want us to track quickly through the rest of Luke's gospel, because it tells us the whole story of what happened when God reached into our broken world, full of goodwill towards man, in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. For if we were to read the whole of Luke's gospel, we would soon see the angel's celebration is just the start of the story. The question is, what happens from there? I'm sure you know a lot of Luke's gospel, how this Jesus as an adult goes around teaching and healing people, even raising the dead. He's making waves by calming storms, and they're hungry for more when he's feeding more than 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a little bit of fish. And get this, he even says that he can forgive sins. No wonder he's building a huge following. But here's the problem. Not everyone is pleased about it. And as he comes to Jerusalem, the tide turns. Here's Jesus, the one the angels announced as God's peace bringer. And the religious leaders and the power brokers of Israel won't have a bar of it. And so as he's heading into Jerusalem, cheered on by the crowds, they are plotting his execution. Now Jesus himself knows exactly what's going to play out. And as we're thinking about the theme of peace this morning and the angel's song welcoming Jesus into the world, by the end of the story, look at what Jesus is saying. You see, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and sees a city, he weeps over it and he says these words, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." The tears are running down his face because they've missed it. Jerusalem, Israel, they could have had peace, but they just didn't know it when they saw it. So he says, "Jerusalem, you won't know peace at all." And he goes on to describe how the Roman armies will come and they'll crush the city that they love, which is exactly what happens a few years later in 70 AD. Jesus says, "Your enemies won't leave one stone upon another. There will be no peace because," Jesus says, "you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. God has sent me and you did not recognize me as to who I really am. So there will be no peace." And a couple of days later, they accuse him and they arrest him and they abuse him and they nail him to a cross. You see, the Pope's problem is that it's nothing new, is it? It's a problem that goes right back to the time of Jesus himself, to Luke as he's writing his gospel. And that is that God's offering, his peace offering to humanity, was by and large met with rejection by all but a few. Because the fact is, we're in a world not just at war with one another. We live in a world at war with the God who made us. A world that doesn't see peace or doesn't want to when it's dangled right under our noses. But the thing to keep in mind if you read the Christmas accounts carefully is that at the heart of the Christmas promise, it still stands. For anyone who does not recognize the time of God's coming in the person of Jesus, but for anyone who does recognize the time of God's coming in the person of Jesus is promised a more profound peace, a peace between us and God. Now, that may not be something that you've spent much time worrying about, that you need peace between you and God. But one day I suspect you will worry about this, because it's right at the heart of what it is to be human. Can I encourage you that when this day comes, remember this. Jesus says you could have had peace, but you just did not recognize the time of God's coming to you because you failed to recognize me. You could have had peace with God, but you did not recognize me when I quietly slipped into this world as a little baby in humble rags and laid in a feeding trough. Maybe you weren't expecting such humility. I recently watched a YouTube clip with Jimmy Fallon, who sent U2 out busking on a New York subway for his Tonight Show, arguably the world's most successful rock band. And everyone, as they walked to work or whatever they were doing, just walked straight past, too busy on their daily commute to even notice that it was U2 playing in the subway. They could have stopped and had the free concert of a lifetime, but nobody stopped. They just kept walking and walking past. But you know, something even bigger than that is on offer to us this morning. For when you recognize Jesus, you can have true and lasting peace with the God who made you. You know, there are hints of what's coming right back at the start of the story of Jesus. Just before Jesus is born in Luke chapter 1, you meet this guy, Zechariah. He's the father of John the Baptist. And he says these words to his baby boy. He's also talking about peace. And he says this, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The path of peace that comes through the forgiveness of our sins. Friends, that is real peace. Which means that Christmas isn't an empty charade at all. Indeed, Christmas still matters as much today as it did that very first Christmas. And that fourth line of the carol I quoted earlier, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Friends, there might still be battles everywhere, including perhaps at your family table later on today. But the one guarantee of Christmas is that through Jesus we can have peace with God himself. Of your every sin forgiven, of your whole track record wiped clean, of God and sinners like you and me reconciled. You know, I'm glad the Pope didn't act on his disappointment those years ago. Sure, we may not now have world peace, and frankly, I'm not sure that will ever come before Jesus returns. But what Christmas reminds us is that we can have the most important and lasting peace that will last forever with God himself. And so, friends, if you haven't made the most of this peace that is on offer to you between you and God in the coming of Jesus, well, what a great day to make peace with God today. It's not your work, it's his. He has made peace available to you. You just need to recognize that it's come in the person of Jesus and trust in him. So why don't I pray for us this very Christmas morning and pray that we would walk out of here knowing true and lasting peace with the God who made us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please help us to recognize the time of your coming in the person of Jesus, to dwell on him in our hearts, to trust him with our lives, and to turn to him for our forgiveness, so that we might indeed enjoy peace with you as you promised on that very first Christmas. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.